This episode of Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off of any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/campfire and enter the promo code CAMPFIRE. Again, get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/campfire and enter promo code CAMPFIRE. Thanks, Casper.
Welcome to our gathering tonight. Here we share stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things. Sit back, relax, and warm yourself by Jim Harold's Campfire.
Welcome to the campfire. I am Jim Harold and so glad to be with you. And do we have a humdinger of a show for you today. If you're into the spooky and the weird and the strange, we've got EVP, strange figures, shadows on the wall, all kinds of stuff. This really is a very good episode. We just recorded these calls last night and I was just astounded. It was one good call after the other, so this is going to be one of our highlights of 2015, I dare say, probably the best show of 2015 so far. So stay tuned and get your spooky on with the campfire. Next up on the line is Heather. She's calling from Tennessee. She's a Plus Club member, a longtime supporter, and always reposting our stuff on social media. We're very appreciative. And tonight, I have to say, we've been doing the campfire since 2009. I think Heather is going to share with us one of the most remarkable EVPs I've ever heard, bar none. It really, you don't really have to listen too closely to hear what this one's all about. So now that I've told you a little bit about it, Heather, welcome to the program. And
well, thank you.
Tell us a little bit of the circumstances around this EVP session.
Sure. Well, I've been ghost hunting for about 5 or 6 years hardcore now. I've always been interested in the paranormal, and in all the time that I've been doing EVP sessions, I've never caught something quite this amazing. And I recently moved to a property in the northern part of Tennessee. It's a large property with several different structures on it. And there is an old cabin that is down by the creek down here. The cabin was built in the 1880s. And the original builders of the property where I live, there are like six structures on the property. The original builders of the property found out that there was this cabin from the 1880s in a town not far from where I'm living now. Mm-hmm. And there was a period of time in the late 1800s where people were going around and they were dismantling these old cabins to use for firewood. And the people that owned it at the time actually built a barn around the cabin to preserve it. And there's some holes in the history of the cabin. I'm not exactly sure how the original builders of the property where I'm living now, how they found out about it, but they actually bought it, had the barn torn down, and they dismantled the cabin mm-hmm. and brought it to the present property and had it reconstructed by the creek. And the reason why I'm going into all of that is anybody who knows anything about ghost hunting knows that there's a theory that energy can be stored sure. in materials,
stone
and
tape
so that
theory,
history is so important. And, you know, I've been charmed by this cabin the entire time that I've lived here, and I finally said, you know what, I'm going to go down there and do an EVP session by myself. So I went down, and it was freezing, and of course there's no electricity or anything, and so I lasted probably about 30 minutes before I started to get too cold to be down there by myself anymore. And nothing happened. I didn't hear anything particularly strange. I didn't see anything particularly strange. And so as I was leaving, I was shutting the door, and I, as I closed the door behind me, that's when the EVP was caught. I heard nothing at the time. I was completely by myself, and this amazing EVP was caught.
I want to reiterate something Heather said. She was by herself. So, Heather, there was no one else in this structure, no one male, no one female. You were the only person there, correct?
I was indeed.
Okay, well, let's take a listen. Now, I don't know if you caught that, but we're going to play it for you two more times. Keep in mind, as you're hearing this, Heather's leaving. There's no one else other than Heather in this building. Listen to it. Here it is, two more times. So, Heather, we've heard it three times now. Tell us what you think you heard.
I think that it's a man saying night, as in good night, with a pretty heavy Southern accent. I haven't played this EVP for many people. I've played it for two other people, and the two other people that have heard it had one agreed with me, and the other one thought that the man was saying bye. But there's a tone to it. Regardless of what exactly is being said, it sounds like someone saying good night in mm-hmm. one way or another. And there's actually a little follow-up to this, and that is that where the cabin is located, there's a golf cart that we ride back and forth to go between buildings, and I'm drove the golf cart back to the building where I live, and there are some decorations around the building. One of them is a false window where it looks like you're looking into the window of an old general store.
Right.
But it's not actually a window. It's just a decoration. But it's a window frame with glass in it, and it's bolted into the side of the building. Somehow, some way, it came loose and smashed on the porch. And then a little while later, I heard footsteps on the porch, and there were some lawn chairs in the back. There's a cafe table with four chairs, and two of the chairs wound up tipped over on their back quite a ways away from the table. And there was zero wind that night. Now, it could be a wild coincidence. It really could. I'm not saying that was necessarily paranormal activity, but it was a little odd that it happened right after this EVP session where I was begging for a sign that there was somebody there. And since then, I have gone back to the cabin one time with a friend of mine, and we did another EVP session, mm-hmm. and we didn't catch anything on that one, but we basically told if there is an entity there that they need to stay there and stay at the cabin away from the main house, and nothing strange has happened at the main house since then. And I'm a little nervous about doing any more EVP sessions down there after catching such a good EVP and having some strange activity around the main house. So, but you know, if anything else happens, the very first person that I'm going to let know is you.
Well, thank you so much. I'm honored. And I've got to tell you, folks, really, we've heard some, we don't do a lot of EVP, but we have people occasionally who will share one, and we've had some interesting ones, but it's also got to kind of, you got to squint and hear, and there's a lot of background hiss and noise, and it's tough to pull in. This one is extremely clear. And if there was anybody else in that room other than Heather, and that's definitely a man's voice saying something like night or good night. I thought maybe he was saying all right, but it was
right.
Something like that. And there was almost like, well, you came to see what you wanted. All right. You know, it's kind of the way I took it. But I mean, it's exceptionally clear. It's just remarkable. I hope that everybody.
Well, that's the kind of thing that keeps people ghost hunting, is to be able to capture something like that. And so I was extremely excited about it. And, you know, and it's the thing that's kept me going, you know, because so often you go on a ghost hunt and you spend so many hours and you get nothing. And then boom, something happens and it just recharges your battery to get out there and do some more hunting.
And I almost forgot, before we go, Heather, please, I know you're working on kind of a ghost hunting manual. Tell us about it.
I am. I'm putting together a book. It's going to be out within the next 2 months, and it's simply called The Practical Ghost Hunter. It has its own Facebook page and its own Twitter page by the same name, The Practical Ghost Hunter, and if anybody wants to give me a like or a follow, I would appreciate it. And basically, the tagline explains it all. It's a this world guide to the other world. It has very practical advice on how to put together a ghost hunt, how to organize one, how to maximize the time that you have in a place to do your ghost hunting. It's got a checklist of everything that you need to bring along on your ghost hunt. And it also touches on some subjects that there are a lot of handbooks out there and a lot of books about ghost hunting, but there are some topics that I touch on that a lot of them don't, like why do we ghost hunt, and why is the personal experience so disregarded these days? Why is everything so evidence-based when so many people get into ghost hunting because of a personal experience? So I think it's going to be a little bit different than a lot of the things that are out there. And my main goal is that I want to make ghost hunting more fun and easier for the people that are out there, the people that are willing to go and sit in a cold basement in the dark with nothing but an EVP recorder or an electronic voice recorder. So I'm hoping that your listeners will be interested in it, and I always welcome any comments.
Well, I'll tell you, if you're getting EVP like that, seems like a book that all ghost hunters should want to read. Heather, thank you for joining us tonight.
Well, thank you so much for your time. Always good to talk to you.
This episode of Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Casper. Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost. And they're really revolutionizing an industry that needs it, the mattress industry. They're cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that savings directly to you, the consumer. And not only are they doing great things in price and so forth, but their mattress is obsessively engineered at a very fair price. They've taken two technologies, latex and memory foam, and they put them together for better nights and brighter days. Now, it's a comfortable mattress. They actually sent me one, and I like it because it's kind of like Goldilocks. You know, this one's too hard, this one's too soft, this one's just right. The Casper mattress to me is just right. It has the right sink and it has the right bounce. Plus, I can tell that the way it's engineered, it's going to hold up and be long lasting. Now, the thing is that they delivered this right to my house, and you can buy yours easily online. And here's really something that's cool. Now, I love when companies stand behind their product and say, hey, try it out in your own home. Risk-free. And get this, they do this for 100 days. 100 days risk-free. They offer free delivery and painless returns within a 100-day period. Now, why would they do this? Because the folks over at Casper understand the importance of truly trying out a mattress that you spend a third of your life on. Now, let me ask you, what's a better trial for a mattress? Sleeping in it for 100 days, or going to one of these showrooms where you got the guy standing over you with the sport coat, high pressure, and you've got a bulky coat on, maybe like a pair of jeans and some boots, and you're trying to lay on a mattress and determine if it's the mattress that you want to spend a third of your life in. Which one is more realistic? Well, the Casper folks say statistically that it's been found that lying on a bed in a showroom has absolutely no correlation to whether it's the right bed for you. So why not take advantage of this 100-day trial? And another thing that I'm happy about, although we have listeners from all over and I love you all, I am happy that Casper mattresses are made in the USA. So we've established it's a better mattress, better technology, not using the 100-year-old technology that we lie on with these beds that have the springs that jab in your back. So new technology, free delivery, painless returns within 100 days, plus a great price. Now, you can get a Casper mattress for $500 for a twin or $950 for a king-sized mattress. Now, if you compare that to industry averages, it's an outstanding price point. But it gets even better because you can save an additional $50 as one of our audience members by going to casper.com/campfire and entering the promo code campfire. That's easy to remember. So again, to take advantage of this, to not only get all the 100-day trial, the free delivery, the great price, add on to that additional $50 off, and you go over to casper.com/campfire and use that promo code campfire. I hope you'll do it. I know that there have to be, out of our thousands and thousands of listeners, some folks out there who are looking for a new mattress as we speak, so why not give them a try? You have nothing to lose. You can return it within 100 days. They bring it right to your house. Heck, you don't even have to go fight the crowds or the salespeople. Try Casper. We really appreciate it. Go to casper.com/campfire and use that promo code campfire. Thanks so much, Casper.
If you love these great ghost stories, please tell a friend about Jim Harold's Campfire today. Now, we return to the show.
Next up on the Campfire is Kimberly from Connecticut. She's been listening for a few months. She found us on iTunes. And in the annals of the Campfire, some of the most frightening stories for me, some of the most chilling, are those that emanate from our childhood. And Kimberly has one of these stories. Kimberly, welcome to the program, and please tell us what happened.
Well, thank you so much, Jim, for having me. My story started when my family moved into a brand new house, which was in a new subdivision. So all of the land had been, all the forestry had been torn down, and the houses were built. So we were the first people to live in the house. I moved in when I was about 7.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since I moved in there, I just had this feeling of a presence. And I was, at this point in time when we moved in, I was sleeping in my bed by myself, and I would say never really had any problems with any kind of adjustments or transitions. But once we moved in, I was starting to hear things in the night, sounds, and mm-hmm. It was very frightening to me. So at one point, I started wanting to sleep in my parents' bed and telling them that I hear things at night, and they would, say, go back to bed, it's just the house settling, or it's just an animal outside.
Right.
But I always had the feeling that it was something more. As I got older, I would say within the next couple of years, there were a few times where I would have been in my bed and just felt this really dark presence over me. And I didn't see anything. It was just a very heavy feeling. And so once I felt that, I was scared, stiff, literally, and that's when I would go to my parents' room and tell them what happened, and they'll say, oh, it was just in your mind, or whatever.
Right.
So the first incident that I can recall that was really striking was I had heard a noise out in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
So I was about 9, so I kind of, gotten up my strength and my courage, and I said, I'm going to go check this out. It's about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. All the lights are out, and the only thing that's shining through is the moonshine from the windows. I want to add that there were no other fixtures, no decorations on the wall to create a shadow. But as I was creeping out and heading into the living room, I hear this loud thud behind me.
Ooh.
And I turn around, and in the moonshine, or in the moonlight, there's a shadow of an axe.
And I'm like, gave me shivers.
Yes.
But being a little kid, seeing something like that, the outline of an axe on the wall, that's terrifying.
Right. But by this point in time, I had known that even if I had said something to my parents, they were not going to believe me. So I took a deep breath, and I went back in my room, and I laid in my bed, and I slept with the light on.
Mm-hmm.
Another night, I guess this wasn't too far past the axe scene. I had just laid down to bed. And it's important to know I did not have a headboard or a footboard on my bed. It was simply the two mattresses and a bed frame.
Right.
And I laid down. I was laying down maybe about 20 seconds. Hadn't even started going to sleep. But all of a sudden, the mattress starts shaking.
Ooh.
Like there was literally, it seemed like there were two people on each side of my mattress just lifting it and just shaking it like a parachute. And again, I was so terrified. My eyes were just wide open, but I was so scared. I was just frozen. And it probably, I mean, it seemed to last about a minute, but all in all, it probably lasted about 15 or 20 seconds. I never saw anything. I just literally felt the mattress just going up and down.
And, oh, my goodness.
So, like I said, I was frozen. I think I probably laid there for about 10 minutes just trying to digest what happened. And I got out of my bed, and I went out to, my mom was in the kitchen. She was still up, and I didn't tell her what happened. But I said, did you just hear a sound coming from my room? And she said, you know, no, I didn't hear anything. And I just left it at that, and I came back to my room and again slept with the lights on. And, you know, that was the last very striking incident that happened. I've always felt a presence, even as I've gotten older in the house. But as I've grown up, I've grown more assured of myself. I do believe that I am sensitive,
right,
and that I do have a very strong sense of intuition. And just through accepting that, when I go back to my parents' house, because they do still live there, I don't feel as scared, or I do not feel scared. I also have to note that no one else in my family has experienced anything like I have.
So you
that
think
is my story.
And it's quite a story, I must say, Kimberly. Now let me ask you, why do you think they zeroed in on you? Because A, you were sensitive, and maybe because you were very young, do you think that's why whatever this was kind of targeted you?
I think so. I do think so. I think it could definitely tell that I was the sensitive one out of the family, and it just, you know, honed in on me. And I guess, you know, my parents were very busy working, and my brother was, he was 6 years younger than me, so he was considerably younger, and at the time that I was experiencing this, much too young to pick up on anything. And so I just believe that, you know, by the land being, you know, recently disturbed,
right,
and, you know, a house, a brand new house being built on it, that just kind of shook things up.
Now, what do you think these, whatever they were?
I don't know. You know what? I don't know if it was maybe just, maybe some unsettled spirits. I'm not sure. I've never done any research on the land, as in what was going on in this part of North Carolina, because that's where I grew up, or in that particular where that subdivision was. So I'm not sure what it is. Or what it was. I don't get the feeling that it was demonic. I maybe just felt that it was maybe just a little mischievous, you know, just a little poke to let someone know that they were there. They as in spirit. So
a very, very neat story. Well, neat now in retrospect. At the time, it was really scary stuff. Well, Kimberly, thank you so much for joining us on The Campfire. Thank you for listening. I'm so glad you found us on iTunes. I hope you continue to enjoy the show and share it with your friends. And if something else happens, if that spirit returns, let us know.
Absolutely. I will do that. Thank you so much, Jim.
Next up is Jebediah from Mississippi. He's been listening for about 6 months, found us on the podcasts app. A lot of people are finding us this way. And really, it amazes me. And Jebediah will be with Jebediah in a minute. It amazes me. There's so many different ways to listen to the shows now. Everything from the Roku to TuneIn Radio to Stitcher to iTunes to all kinds of things, things that I'm not even thinking of right now. And by the way, I just had a caller on who had been only listening for a few months. If you like these shows, we have a lot of other shows, free shows and paid shows. Just go into iTunes and check out put in Jim Harold and you'll see the other shows. We have Paranormal Report and Paranormal Podcast, both free podcasts. And then, of course, we have the Plus Club over at jimharold.net. So sorry to take time from Jebediah, but just thought I should mention that. But Jebediah's been listening for about 6 months, and he has this story of when he worked in a nursing home and some of the strange happenings. Jebediah, welcome to the program, and tell us some of these things that occurred.
Well, you can call me Jim, and thanks for having me. Well, I never really believed in the paranormal until we moved up to New York.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived on this old farmhouse. And a lot of strange things happened. And one night I was standing there with my older brother. We were watching in the living room, and then we had to turn and see a full-body apparition walk across from the dining room into the kitchen.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, and that's what turned me on to that. And then, jump a few years later, I got a job at a CNA. I was working at a nursing home.
So you were a certified nursing assistant, right?
Yes, I was for about 4 years. And I worked at the same home in upstate New York. And at first, I didn't really notice anything different. But then, after about a year, I've noticed that whenever a resident got close to when they were getting ready to pass, they'd always see a little girl in the room with them.
Huh.
So we'd be sitting there in night shift. They hit the call light and say, can someone come get this little girl out of our room?
You know, it's funny, though. I have heard, and we've actually had people on various programs talking about this, about people around the time of death. They report seeing figures, the loved ones. They see people nobody else can see. So this really maps to the research that's been done on this, Jeb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they always seem to see a little girl. And unfortunately, after they see the little girl for about 2-3 days, the person would pass.
And then you said in your note to me there was actually time that you saw a little girl.
Yep. I was going from one building to the other. So I had to go from my normal unit to a violent patient and on the lockdown unit. And usually, I'm 6'3" and I'm 260 pounds. I'm a pretty big guy.
Mm-hmm.
So when they have a violent patient or a patient get out of hand, it's a male, they would call me down to go sit with them. Usually when I walk in the room, they'd be like, okay, this big guy's here. And, you know.
It's okay, Jeb. I'm cool. I'm cool.
And pretty much. Well, one night it was about 2:00 in the morning, and I called down to the floor because the gentleman beat up a CNA, a woman. So I had to go down there and sit with him until everything got taken care of. Well, on my way through the building, I noticed a little girl, clear as day. And I'm trying to figure out why she would be here, so I decided to follow her a little bit. And then she went down this one stairway that I knew led to nowhere, and I opened the door, and she was gone.
That's strange. Do you think it was the same little girl?
I don't know. She kind of, you couldn't really tell the features. You just saw the silhouette. of the of her, you know. And so I went to the floor and, you know, sat on there for a while, and then on my way back to my floor, I saw her again, but she was on my floor, and she went into one of my president's rooms. So I followed her into the room, and the president that I took care of had passed.
It's been mapped to this experience of the little girl.
Yeah. I don't know if it's, I guess you'd say death or an angel or what. But I just noticed that every time someone would die, no matter what floor you could be, sometimes we get floated to different floors at night. And usually if there was someone that was close to death, there'd be reports of a little girl in their room.
So do you think it's possible? So you don't necessarily think this is like an evil spirit or something, but it might be like an angel or someone kind of shepherding these people over to the other side, maybe?
Yeah, because whenever she's around, if the patient was like stressed, they automatically also calm down and start relaxing.
Again, we hear these accounts all the time, and Jeb, it sounds like you have found another one from firsthand experience, and I always value the experience of the healthcare workers, hospice workers, people who are around people at the time of death. And it's interesting, we just did a paranormal podcast on something similar to this with Patricia Pearson. We talked about healthcare workers who said, yeah, these things do happen. And again, another case. Jeb, thank you for joining us tonight.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Holly joins us from California. She started listening the day after Christmas. Happy holidays. And she has a story about a dream job that I guess you could say it turned into a nightmare. Holly, welcome to the show as a listener and as a storyteller, and tell us what happened.
Okay. Yeah, so I took this job as a cook in a kitchen, and it seemed like everything that happened after that just kind of turned into it was a disaster. It was a streak of bad luck, I guess you could say. So the night that I was supposed to start, or let's say the day, I woke up that day, and I'll give you some background as to where I was sleeping. It was this weird little loft, and right up against the roof, so I couldn't sit all the way up in this bed, and it was just $75 a month, so it was a pretty good deal. And to get out of this little loft space, I had to kind of shimmy out, hop a gap, walk down a ladder, and then I was in my sort of bedroom space. And so I woke up this one morning, about 10:23, I remember seeing the clock, and got up, hopped the gap, went down the ladder, out the bedroom door, down the stairs to the bathroom to take care of some morning business, and then came back up to the loft. I felt like I wasn't quite ready to wake up, and went back up the ladder, hopped the gap, and into the loft again, and to lay back down. I was thinking, gosh, you know what? It's almost 10:30 in the morning. I should probably get up. At that moment that I realized that I made that decision, I felt some pressure down on the end of the bed, like an animal jumped on the end of the bed.
Huh.
And which is not possible for one. An animal couldn't get up that ladder and then hop the gap. And also we didn't have an animal in the house at the time. So I'm leaning on my left side and I look down towards my feet to see what it is. And as soon as I do, I feel this overwhelming powerful weight just push me back down into the bed. My head moves, kind of presses into the pillow involuntarily, and then I watch my right arm slide across my body into the bed, and again involuntarily, and everything is being pushed down into the bed. And I hear this whooshing sound as in my head, I guess, sort of surrounding my head. And I'm thinking, like, I'm trying to call for my housemates, and I'm calling for one guy because I can hear him stirring in the next room, calling for Tommy, 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 but I can't. It's that voice paralysis that you have
in your dreams.
Right.
And you're trying to call out and your voice is paralyzed. I go, okay, I can't get to Tommy. And then I hear my other roommate, Jason, he picks up the phone. He's talking to a friend. I remember he says, hey, Dara. And I'm like, oh, Jason, he can come help me. And I can't call out his name. And I'm just completely paralyzed. My body is just rigid, being pressed harder and harder and harder into the ground. Now, as a disclaimer, I have experienced sleep paralysis.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nothing like that. And because the pressure was getting greater and greater and greater, and the sound was getting louder and louder and louder. And I realize that I can't call for help. So I'm just thinking in my mind, get off me, get off me, get off me. And it's not moving, and the pressure is getting more and more and more, and this feeling is getting more and more intense, and the sound's getting louder and louder and louder. And then I remember, as like with every cell and every fiber of my muscles and my body, I just scream at this thing, get off me. But in my mind, you know, and then I spring up from whatever this pressure was. And as I do, flying past the right side of my head is this blackness. And I heard another caller describe it like this, like just this void of light, like it's not moving through the space, more like taking up space with how dark and void of space and shape this thing was. This blackness shoots by me with this one beady red ball, and I guess you'd call a light or an eye,
mm-hmm.
and it shoots past my head and across the loft into another sort of storage space. And I watch it fly past, and then my head whips around and looks at the clock again, and 2 minutes has gone by. And the first thing you think is, that was all in my head. But it, I don't know, it felt so physical that I just, the next thought I had was, I think a demon tried to attack me, possess me or something, with no real conclusion having been reached, you know. And
right.
Then after that, I had all these other things happen. I got my friend's bicycle stolen. I broke my hand. I started developing vertigo. I nearly broke up with my boyfriend at the time. It was just streak of bad luck. And then the business. Oh, I didn't even tell you the worst part. That day, I went to my other job at the deli, and I fell down with a pot of boiling water, and I burned my face, and I was in the hospital for 2 days.
Oh, my Lord.
Which then kicked off that streak of bad luck. And then when the place fired me, because they said, Holly, you can barely be here. You broke your arm. You burned your face. Your bicycle gets stolen. We're going to have to fire you. It all felt lifted and felt lighter.
So in a way, they did you a favor, strange. Even though it was pretty misguided. They caused all these problems, then they fire you. That's, wow. So,
yeah.
It was, and it does seem, it is, you know, how certain people have a dark cloud. I also believe there's just things that in your life that don't feel right, they don't seem right. And when you associate with them, just bad things seem to happen. And it sounds like it was one for you.
Yeah. Yeah, the people who were running that business were really shady, strange people, a lot of drugs, a lot of strange behavior on the job. But it was a weird streak there.
Well, we're glad that things have settled down a little bit, and we thank you for listening and for sharing your story on the campfire tonight.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Jim. It's a pleasure.
I told you that was a good show. It really was. I really enjoyed it, and I hope that you did as well. I do have a little announcement that I want to make, something kind of cool. You may or may not know, I have a free email newsletter over at jimherold.com, which is absolutely free, and it has nothing to do with my Plus Club or anything. This is something that's available to you if you're listening, and you can go over to jimherold.com and sign up for it, and you'll get it. I try to put it out every week, a newsletter that will give you news and show updates and those kind of things, paranormal news stories and those sorts of things. So that's one. But, you know, I got to thinking about the other day, I was watching the old show In Search Of, if you remember that program. Now, I've said many times on the shows that that program from the 70s, I was just like a little kid, a very little kid, elementary school. And I remember sitting and watching that and just being mesmerized. And I think that's what started my interest in all of this stuff. So I was watching it the other day and I said, well, wouldn't it be a cool thing if I could give a set of these away to somebody? So I went on my favorite online retailer and I ordered a box set and decided that I was going to give it away. But then I'm like, well, how am I going to give it away? So here's where the newsletter comes in. If you are signed up for my free newsletter now, you are automatically entered into a drawing for March 1st. That's when we're going to do it. One lucky winner who is signed up for the email list will end up getting this brand new box set of In Search Of, and it's like 146 episodes, 21 discs, very cool stuff. So if you're not signed up for the newsletter, what are you waiting for? Go over to jimherold.com, sign up for my newsletter, and just input, you know, your email address, and you'll be on the list and you'll be entered in the drawing. Now, there are two things you need to know. First of all, you must be 18 years of old age or older. I insist upon that. So make sure you're an adult if you're signing up for this. Number two is you have to be in the continental United States, the lower 48 states. And quite honestly, the reason we do that is just it's not cost effective or feasible, really, to ship this internationally or to Alaska or Hawaii. It's a really heavy box set. So I apologize to our international listeners and those in Alaska and Hawaii, but we'll have other contests. But I hope you'll go sign over up to my email list. It's over at jimherold.com. And if you sign up for that, you will get my email newsletter, which is not a bad thing anyway, and get entered in, and maybe you will be the one lucky winner. Again, you got to do that before, really before February 28th, if you want to be entered, because we're going to do the drawing on the 1st. I thank you so much for listening, and as always, stay spooky. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to Jim Harold's Campfire. Tune in again next time for more stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things.